Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host...
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people. And good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
And welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer-slash-co-host-slash-handyman, Sir Rockin.
She wanted to say something else, but she thought,
Asshole.
You can join in the conversation at wildtalkradio.com or rackradioshow.com. Click the live button. You can also tweet us at rackradioshow, at wildtalkradio, or at Lynn's Ward. And, you know, we'll read your comments on the air this evening.
We will. And we have a lot to get into, and I don't want to talk about what those bagpipes mean, but it is the biggest story of the week. So we're going to just jump right into it, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. And that is, with a heavy, heavy heart, I can't believe we're reporting this, Rowdy Roddy Piper is gone.
Yeah, the Hot Rod is no longer with us. And it was one of those things on Friday, as it typically is. You see something pop up and you go, wait, what? Did that really just happen? And then you go on the internet and you find out, oh, hey, it happened. And then you go to another source just to make sure, oh, it's true. Then you pick up your phone and text your friend. In this case, I texted Lindsay.
I was in the car on my way home.
Piper died. And you just, it sinks in. It's like, wait, that just happened. And I just typed that out.
Right? I was like, what? No. No, it's Piper. It's Piper! No! Because, I mean, it's like we said with Dusty, there's this expectation that all these wrestlers are immortal, because you honestly think that they are. And you don't deep down, you know that they're not, but in your heart and in your mind, because they're so larger than life, they feel immortal to you.
Yeah.
And like, they're never gonna die. And so it's really hard when someone like Roddy dies, because he's always kind of been there. And he doesn't show up a lot, but when he does, it's always kind of a treat. And you always get super excited to see him. And it's like, there's going to be no more Piper's Pit. There's going to be no more Roddy. And it's just really kind of hard. You know?
It is really hard, because when you think, you know, whenever they do a big special event, it's Roddy Piper's there. He's usually 9 times out of 10, when he's in good standing with the company, he's there.
Yeah. You know, he's always there for Old School Raw. He's always around for WrestleMania. He usually pops up around this time, you know, for SummerSlam. He's there for all the big events, and he's not going to be there anymore. I mean, What the hell are they going to do for Old School Raw now? It sucks.
It does suck because we lost Dusty and now we lost the Hot Rod and it's just...
Damn it, Rob.
Damn it, Rob is for sure. Hashtag blame Rob. It's just one of those weird things because from all accounts, he was healthy.
From everything you heard about him, he was fine. He was healthy. He was in good spirits. And it was just a really crazy random thing where he had cardiac arrest in his sleep and he just slipped away. And it happens, you know, and it's just something that you can be in the best health ever, but, you know, someday it's not going to be enough, I guess. I don't even know. It's just, it's still hard to think of. It's still hard to realize that he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone at the age of 61, and it's sort of like, it just makes you think and reflect, and like Dusty's did, it just makes you sit back and reflect. About all the legends in the wrestling business who...
Hide them all. Hide Shawn Michaels and Taker and Flair.
Because they're getting older. And back then, they had a very, very busy lifestyle. And sometimes it catches up with you. And you don't realize it because in your head, you're young. You're still young. Everyone's still young. They're still the person you were watching when you were 10 years old, you know? And it just, we're older, they're older. So, if they're older, we're older, that means they're really old, and we're getting older. Kinda sucks. And, I don't know, it's just, it's very hard to grasp it all, cause it's just, again, Dusty just happened.
Yeah, Dusty just happened 2 months ago, and we're just getting over Dusty, and now it's Piper's gone, and you don't want to think about the third. Cause the thing is this always happens in threes.
And we probably will be touching on, I don't even want to say it, but there's news that came out, and we're just going to get to it now. We'll bring it up here, and then we won't have to cover it later. Jimmy Snuka had stomach cancer, and had part of his stomach removed. That just was a red light going, wait, what?
Yeah, no, 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 no. He's going to be fine. No.
Right.
No, absolutely not. No, he will be fine.
So it's just sort of, it's one of those red lights that go off when you in your head, and alright, I don't want to go deep into morbid territory, so we're gonna keep this upbeat. No! Anyway, take a listen to a classic Piper moment. Just from a year or so ago, on Monday Night Raw, on Old School Raw, take a listen to about a minute of this, from Piper's Pit, with the Shield.
Who gave this old man a live microphone? We're on live television. Hey, we were going to stand around and wait while you ramble on and on. If you're going to say anything, you should be thanking God that the Shield wasn't around when you were in your prime, because if we were, you may not have made it to 112 years old.
First of all, nobody gave me a mic. I took it. And this is Piper's Pit, not Ambrose Alley. Now! If you're finished with the foolishness, think I'm cute? I admit, I've been beat up. I have fought some guys. Oh my goodness. Things don't work quite like they used to, except for my mind is fine. And there's only one guy that can match me on the microphone. And his name is C.M. Punk.
And truthfully, CM Punk could match him at times on the microphone, but Piper
nobody
was...
Nobody can match Piper.
I said at times, but in fullness, Piper was a class of his own. He's been in WCW, he's in WWE, he had a stint in TNA a couple of times. I remember the time he called out Vince Russo in TNA. That was... Back in the weekly night pay-per-view era, that was
something.
That was something or other. Piper's going to be missed. That's for damn sure. His funeral, I believe, is on Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday. It's going to be private.
They're asking for a moment of silence at 10:30 something, if I remember correctly. A worldwide moment of silence for Piper. I believe it's 10:30 in the morning. I'm not 100% sure, so someone may have to Google check that. But that's what I remember reading. So yeah, it's gonna be a prayer ceremony. It sucks he's gone. Hopefully, knocking on the wood, this is the last wrestling death report on this year.
I hope so. I really do. And it feels like everything has just kind of been down and there's been a lot of death and that kind of thing. So it's like, it would be really nice if, you know, we had some positive news, which we do, you know, we definitely do, but it just two back to back like that is really hard. But, you know, hearing segments like the Amber Sally Piper Pit segment, which is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
I'm almost regretting that they never did anything with Dean Ambrose and Roddy Piper solo, because
right.
Piper and the Shield was just magic.
It was.
It really was. So, but what we got was fantastic, and that's one of my favorite moments with Piper, like, ever.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So somewhere up in heavens, he's smashing people with coconuts.
Well, he was with Ronda Rousey on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, we'll get more into that when we come back from break, but yeah, yeah.
So, fare thee well, Piper. You will be missed.
Yeah.
Godspeed. So on that note, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have the rest of the news. And hopefully this is the last time we have to split the news up for a while.
Please no more deaths. Please.
Please no more deaths. Please no more racist rants. Please no more anything. Just.
Please. Wrestling please. Gods. Please. Please.
Be favorable to us.
We don't ask for much.
Really don't. But you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, suplex city, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing, it's not an East Coast thing, it's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And, well, we are back with the rest of the news. Yay.
Yay, news. No, I'm really excited to talk about this right now.
Well, I think we have to talk about our lead story, again, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and, well, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. Though this really isn't a TNA story, but, well, the news broke today. We have a bundle of joy, a diva bundle of joy being expected in the fact that Rosa Mendez is pregnant.
Holy pregnant Rosa?
Holy pregnant Rosa.
Yeah, it's one of those stories where you wait, what? That explains why she's been off TV for a couple months.
I came back from lunch and it was on Tumblr and I was like, wait, what? She's pregnant? What? And I had to go double check WWE's Twitter because that's where they announced it, and she actually announced it in an interview with WWE. She's having a little girl. She's going to name her Jordan Elizabeth.
Right.
And the father is Bobby Shabinsky. I hope I said your name right. I'm sorry if I didn't. But yeah, so good for her.
Congratulations to Rosa.
And holy pregnant Rosa.
Holy pregnant Rosa. So no more holy naked Rosa. It's holy pregnant Rosa.
I'll keep that to myself because we're...
Well, Holy Naked Rosa was the thing that happened to get to Holy Pregnant Rosa.
Yeah, Holy Naked Rosa was what happened to get to Holy Pregnant Rosa. But in all seriousness, congratulations to Rosa and Bobby. I'm sure they're super excited.
They seem to be. She kept the secret, and no one knew. A lot of the divas were reacting on Twitter today, and they were freaking out. So.
Yeah, I think everybody freaked out. And, well, speaking of making social media freaked out, there were two other WWE superstars who made social media freak out.
Who's that?
Kane and Dolph Ziggler, of all people, are doing a movie together.
Yeah, we reported a couple of weeks ago why Ziggler was off at WWE TV, and then, well, on Monday. Was it Monday?
Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday. One of the days this week. Go with that. Can't remember which one. It was announced on WWE.com that... they're going to be doing a new movie. Kane is in a new movie with Dolph Ziggler, which is very, very interesting.
You know, honestly, when I first saw it, I got a little excited because it's like, hey, it's Kane and Ziggler doing a movie together. It's, you know, they're playing cops of all things. Shocker, it's a WWE film, and Dolph and Kane are, you know, they're police officers. Dolph is the main character. Kane is his boss. I believe the movie is called 625.
Is it 625 or is it 642?
642. I'm sorry, 642. I get it right one of these days. It's called 642.
Hold on. I don't think we should explain it. I think Kane needs to explain it.
Okay, well, damn it, let's get Kane.
This is WWE superstar Kane. And I'd like to tell you about a new movie from WWE Studios and Lionsgate, 642. 642 is an action thriller that stars WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler. But the cool part about 642 is I play Lieutenant Cronin, Ziggler's boss. I can't wait to order Dolph around on the big screen. 642 also stars Catherine Isabel, one of my favorites from Xeno Evil 2, and I can't wait to torment her again. 642 is slated for release in 2016. Check it out. Or else.
I just find it awkward when, when Kane is sitting there with his cell phone, standing there with his cell phone and trying to take a video. Awkward Kane taking a video on his phone.
He's taking a selfie video.
Selfie video. It's like, I'm Instagramming. Hi. 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 Looks so weird doing it.
Now, you would think, you know, this has buddy cop movie written all over it, right?
Right.
You know, it's Kane, it's Ziegler, they're cops. You'd think this would be a comedy. Nope.
No.
No, no. It's a drama where Ray Fitzpatrick, who is WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler, is a tough-as-nails narcotics cop working the beat in Los Angeles. After a drug bust goes wrong, Ray is forced to shoot his own partner, leading to his suspension from the police force. Dolph, really? Before you know it, Ray is dragged right back into the thick of it when a mysterious package arrives at the station addressed to him. The package leads Ray and his colleagues to an encrypted website where an unidentified kidnapper broadcasts a threat to Ray and the entire police force. The kidnapper, it turns out, is holding a young boy hostage, and unless the police department can come up with $2 million in ransom...
$2 million?
$2 million. He'll set off a time bomb strapped to the child's chest. Really?
So
Austin, necessary?
So it's Austin Powers meets Speed?
I guess. I don't know. Does the kid have to keep running?
At a certain pace.
The department led by Lieutenant Cronin, WWE superstar Kane, comes up with the payoff, and Ray is tasked as the bagman. When the handover goes down, Ray is forced to shoot and kill the kidnapper before he can set off the bomb and kill the child. With 6 hours and 42 minutes, hence the name, 6:42, left before the time explosive detonates, Ray and internal affairs agent, Julia Baker, the lovely Catherine Isabel from Sino Evil 2, race against time to find the now deceased kidnapper's hidden lair and save the child before it's too late. This sounds entirely overdramatic.
Austin, a very dramatic version of Austin Powers and Speed. I'm just telling you, that would be an awesome movie.
I am so disappointed this is not a buddy cop movie. Really, seriously, genuinely disappointed this is not a buddy cop movie.
They had the opportunity to do one, and then they failed.
They completely missed it.
They missed the boat on this one. Just saying.
Because I told Rock when it came out, I was like, I can buy Ziggler as a cop if it's not a serious flick. Just given Dolph Ziggler's personality and his character on television, it's like I can completely buy him if it's not a serious thriller movie, which this is.
He could surprise us.
He could surprise us. He really could, and I'm hoping he does. But just for me, it's like, Ambrose was a tough sell, but he fits the part in 12 rounds really, really well. Dolph could be the same, but I don't know. And then on top of it, Kane is a cop. I'm really kind of hoping he turns out to be the kidnapper. Because it's like, if you put Kane in a movie, he should just be the villain in everything.
Yeah.
Unless he's, like, in an awkward romantic comedy and he's the wingman.
Kane needs to be in a rom-com.
Kane needs to be in a rom-com. We need to make this happen.
Hashtag Kane in rom-com 2017.
See No Evil 3, Jacob's Quest for Love. See, this is what happens when I drink before the show. So, looking forward to seeing the previews for 6:42 when they come out in 2 years, because that's how long it took Ambrose's to come out. And even then, Ambrose's got leaked.
Well, no, it got dropped on iTunes and then everyone else leaked it.
Yeah, true. So it got somewhat leaked.
Someone leaked. Someone bought it and then everyone else sort of...
Wait, you had to pay for it?
I don't know how it works on iTunes. I don't know.
Hold on.
She's gonna go... As she goes there, I'll tell you about this. Speaking of movies...
Dude, the Braves won a game!
Congratulations. They only were able to take one from the Phillies.
Hey, at least we didn't get swept.
Yeah, but still lost 3-4. Anyway, speaking of movies, one of the greatest women athletes on the planet, in the world, Ronda Rousey, had an autobiography come out earlier this year, and now that autobiography is turning into a movie in which she will star in.
I'm okay with this.
I am so okay with this. If anyone didn't listen to CB Radio on Saturday night, shame on you, first of all. Number two... We were talking about the Rousey fight as it happened, and those 34 glorious seconds of entertainment on that show, the walk to the ring, her just beating the crap out of her opponent, Beth Correa or something to that effect.
Beth Correa, yeah. Beth Correa, who has been talking smack since May, at the very least, who's been bringing Ronda's father into all of this... And is saying she's gonna beat her, and you know, she was saying don't cry at the weigh-in. I think she got a total of 2 punches in before Ronda just like beat her ass.
Pretty much, and she knocked her out.
Yeah, Ronda just, like, went for it. Like, the thing is, we were sitting here and we were watching the whole show, and it's... Normally when you think of UFC, you think of something along the lines of what the Rousey fight was, where, you know, it's two people beating the crap out of each other. And it's relatively quick. No. This was not quick. This was a lot of hugging.
A lot of hugging. Bailey would have been happy.
Bailey would have been so happy.
But... And every fight went the distance, and then when she came on the air at 34 seconds, bam, it was awesome, it was amazing. I'm actually looking forward to the fact that she's getting a movie.
I'm looking forward to the fact that she's getting a movie because she's actually kind of got some pretty decent acting chops for the limited exposure she's had in films.
She was decent in Furious 7, I think that was the number it was, Furious 7, the last one that came out. She was actually pretty good in Entourage, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
She was actually pretty good in it. So, yeah. Rousey,
and she's,
go ahead.
And she's playing herself, so she's got, you know, the memories of what happened in those particular situations, so it will be more real.
And you just, when she's on screen, you're drawn to her. You're drawn to her.
She has a presence to her.
She does.
So, yeah, super, super excited for Ronda Rousey.
And,
you know, just in general, but, you know, the Korea fight was badass.
It was. Sticking on movie/TV show front, Stephen Amell is coming to Monday Night Raw.
It's Green Arrow, Oliver Queen versus Stardust.
If you have, I'm gonna recommend this. Because people don't like going to www.com to watch interviews. Go to www.com and watch interview with Stardust, as he talks to Michael Cole. It's pretty, pretty awesome. When you let him actually talk, and he's not just doing his riddles, and he's playing off of someone, the Stardust character is really, really good.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. It's really entertaining.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good interview by him. He's been hitting his mark lately.
Yes, he has.
So, good on him, and I'm excited to see Stephen Amell.
It should be cool.
It should be cool. So, I'll have to see how that goes, because, you know, well, Stardust has been stealing Amell's lines.
Yes, he has.
And, well, Amell is none too happy about it, so...
No, he is not.
We're going to have to see how it goes. Oh my god, you can buy their movies on iTunes. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you can.
I'm a little terrified. I'm just slightly... Really, really terrified.
As she continues to search iTunes, it has been announced WWE will be having, the Brooklyn Cyclones will have a WWE night, the Wednesday before SummerSlam. They'll be doing a softball game. Ryback, Charlotte, Eva Marie are supposed to be involved. WWE night, a few days before Ring of Honor is supposed to be there. Interesting.
It should be interesting. It's a good way to get their name out there. You know, not that they need any help, but... It's a good way to get the NXT stars out there, get them in front of a crowd, have fun with the audience. NXT, again, not that they need the help, because NXT is doing very well for TakeOver. They keep having to release tickets for the building. It's being estimated at this point that TakeOver will be extremely close to sold out.
Hunter believes it will be sold out by showtime.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. I mean, it's just they keep having to open up seats for it because they initially sold, 5,000 tickets within a couple hours?
Something like that, yeah.
And then they released more tickets, and they're now at this point, it looks like they could potentially sell out the Barclays Center with NXT. Like, that's huge.
That is huge. And they're only opening up, right now it's the production seats, and there's select tickets in other locations. So, jump on them now, Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, if you want to go to TakeOver in Brooklyn, there are extremely select seats left. Go buy your tickets. Go.
Now, one of the things they do SummerSlam weekend is WWE 2K16 roster reveal.
Yes, and well, we've already had a little peek.
We've had a peek of some of the roster, and this is
some of the entrances.
Some of the entrances, because Gamescom was this week, whatever that is, and IGN is that IGN runs, and they got a firsthand a little bit of a preview of WWE 2K16. They showed the entrances of Seth Rollins and Finn Balor.
Crap.
The graphic detail is amazing in this game.
Oh my god, it's it's artwork. It's just beautiful. I applaud the modelers for this.
You can see some of the artwork on the technology screen right now. They did Finn Balor really, really well. They got, they've done a nice job fine-tuning Seth Rollins. They've done a good job redoing Daniel Bryan's face.
Yeah, you can tell that they scanned everybody this time, and they've gotten more accurate scans.
Because they're able to code more and do a lot more different things.
Yeah, because you were mentioning to me the other night that they took a lot of the code out in 2K15 because it was old.
Really old. Yeah, that's why everything was removed.
Yeah, it was because they were actually retooling the game and retooling the code. This year, it's going to be essentially a brand new game where they're adding a lot of features in.
I'll run through them.
Okay, go for it.
Because there's a lot. All right, first off, it's the largest roster ever, we keep mentioning, and this will combine superstars and divas, emerging NXT talent, Hall of Famers, and WWE alumni from multiple eras.
And the Terminator.
That was the next. She's reading my script. It's next. Terminator.
I'm reading your mind, dude. We got one brain.
I know. Terminator is going to be part of it. Probably from the alumni. It's rumored to be ECW people as well. So that should be cool. Now just think about it. Get the zombie versus Terminator.
Why?
Because why not?
Kevin Thorne.
There you go. That works too. The 2K Showcase mode will be returning, which is their story mode, where they take segments from WWE history and you recreate the moments. My career is back, the franchise creator mode, now it's the second year. We'll see players define their legacies by making critical choices while rising through the ranks from NXT to WWE to earn a spot in the WWE Hall of Fame. In addition, they will train, compete against others, conduct personality-driven interviews, interfere with rivals, and or form the ultimate tag team, so it's been improved upon, which is cool.
Can you do it with a girl?
It does not say.
Well, I'm sold if you can do it with a girl.
Speaking of girls, you're now able to create a diva.
That makes me so happy.
That has returned to the creation suite along with Create Championship. Create Arena's back. Create a Show is back. Key improvements have also been made, including existing fan favorite offerings. Superstar entering Superstar Studio and Community Creation. WWE Universe 2K16. Has made core improvements to the stories, rivals, and match card selections. In addition, for the first time, superstars can be assigned to multiple shows, enabling players to have more of a broader experience, because in the current version of the universe, you can only have someone on Raw or SmackDown. You can't, or whatever that you name your shows, they can only be on one show. They've completely redone overhaul of the online system. Players now can customize their in-game music through the addition of superstar entrance music to the WWE 2K16 jukebox. Additional in-game music will be announced later this year. Game improvements, improved controls, which will include, clearly separated strikes from grapples. This change provides players with more control over the exact type of attacks they want to initiate in every situation. Also new attack positions such as seated to increase options for how players attack while experiencing greatly improved attacks outside the ring near barricades. Opponents will now react more accurately to their environment, which is cool. There's a brand new reversal system where you get a limited number of reversals, not just a limited number, and there's now minor reversals and major reversals, and the major reversals do more damage, which is pretty cool. There's a new pin system. If the opponent kicks out, a superstar may react to the near pinfall and gesture to referee in frustration, so there's more realism to that fact. WWE 2K16 introduced dirty pins and rope breaks. Dirty pins allow players to use the ropes to their advantage and try to pin their opponent. There's a chance the referee may see this and call off the pin attempt. Rope breaks are another way to get out of the pin attempt, but rely on the referee seeing the player grab the ropes, which is cool, instead of just sort of, oh hey, I'm close to the ropes and we'll break it up. Now they're actually going to have motions, which sounds pretty cool. New chain wrestling, new working holds, so you'll get a more of a realistic Randy Orton chin lock. improved AI for the referees and managers. For example, managers can now engage during the matches by either trying to distract the referee or get the attention to help them out in addition.
Sweet!
In addition, significant changes are included to match the specific AI, including tag team matches, war match types, including ladder matches, handicap and tornado tag matches, and more dynamic entrances. And as in the videos, there's usually a loading screen in between. Now it's still a loading screen, but now it's you're gonna hear the commentators talk.
So
it's
okay, that's a fail.
Why is that a fail?
I don't want to hear Michael Cole.
It's better than a black screen, so it's gonna feel
not by much.
No, but in a realistic sense, it's gonna be more. It's gonna be a shot of the arena. You're gonna hear the announcers like you do on real TV. It's gonna feel more real. But speaking of announcers, JBL is now joining the team as a 3-man announce booth with Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler.
Hi.
So there is that. There's a visual upgrade, including the implement of full clothes physics system, full cloth physics system, enabling attires to appear and respond as realistically as possible, improved crowd variety, as well as more realistic sweat, better hair and hair physics, round out the visual enhancements. As we've seen with Dana Ryan, they really got his hair put down pretty well.
Yeah, they did.
Can't wait to see what they do with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Gone are loading screens, as I mentioned. Including, instead, the camera pans the arena over the commentary team for thoughts on the upcoming match. So there you go on that. I'm looking forward to the game.
I'm looking forward to watching you play the game over the technology screen. No, because I don't have a system.
No, but yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Just based on what we've seen from the little snippets, they've done an incredible job with the game. I can't wait to see the full roster reveal and we find out who all is in the game because, like Rock mentioned, it's the largest roster they've ever put into a game. It sounds like pretty much everybody and their sister are going in.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss is in the game, which is pretty cool.
Evil Sparkle Fairy!
And I saw this. They haven't announced it, but I saw in the crowd was a soft shirt, so one would assume...
Oh, one would guess that all the current televised NXT talent make the game.
One would assume.
Within a certain time period. I mean, obviously, people that have debuted more recently, I would guess probably Joe will not make the game.
No, they're working hard to get Joe in the game.
They're working hard to get Joe in the game? Okay, yeah. Well, we'll see if they get Joe in the game, but we know Owens will be in the game.
That is damn sure.
But yeah, so super duper excited for WWE 2K16. Cannot wait to see what they do with it in, 2 weeks when they do the reveal at SummerSlam?
I would assume they're doing it, so we'll see. I think they were doing something there. I don't know if it's going to be the full roster reveal, but they're doing something in 2 weeks, so we'll have more information.
Well, we know that they're not going to do the panel again.
No. Not like they did.
Well,
they did a panel last year, but that was with Steve Austin, and he controlled things a lot better.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But, well, and we do have one last story.
Brought to you by TNAsound.net, the haven for TNA fans.
And that is that the era in TNA has ended. James Storm has had his last call in TNA. It came out this week. It came out a while ago that Storm was wrapping up with the company and he was leaving, but he was working as a free agent. It was announced after this past week's TV tapings that Storm is officially done with TNA. He has fulfilled all his obligations and he's moving forward. He sent out a very lovely message thanking everybody for everything over the years, and he said he's going to miss everyone, but, you know, he's got to look to his future. And I'm a little sad to see him go. I mean, honestly, I thought I knew Storm was going to leave at some point because everybody moves on.
Uh huh.
But I'm genuinely surprised that he's gone. I mean, I figured he would be, given the state of TNA, I thought he would have been somebody that would have stuck it out to the bitter end.
Well, maybe he has.
Maybe he has, you know?
You just never know.
You don't, but, you know, very, very, very sad to see James Storm go. Wish him nothing but success in whatever he does. I'm sure he's at least going to go home and spend time with his family, which is definitely deserved. So, but there's no more cowboy.
So we'll see where the cowboy turns up next.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy? Yeehaw. Anyway, I say we take our second break of the evening, and when we come back...
No, we can't!
Take it yet, because we have to talk about Tough Enough.
We're doing Tough Enough.
I forgot about Tough... God, how can I forget about Tough Enough?
We're doing Tough Enough. Alright, so let's talk about Tough Enough.
I was dreading this episode, I'm not even gonna lie.
She was.
I was like...
I was seriously
dreading it.
You know how people watch with their hands over their eyes? Sort of tried peeking out of it in this episode. This episode was about teamwork. Well, the boys had a lot more teamwork than the girls did. In ring, ZZ had a hard time. His cardio is not where it needs to be. And the judges made every effort to say, hey, work on your damn cardio. As we all saw the videos with Billy Gunn, etc.
Yeah.
The girls, they had some interesting battles in the ring. There's one moment where Sarah had an awkward slam on Gigi, and Gigi overreacted. She could have paralyzed me and all that fun, happy stuff over dramatics, which she got called out by the judges on, or Dana Bryan at the very least. Then the main challenge was trying to go through a firehouse. There's two teams. One was Team ZZ, which Team ZZ won, and the other was Team Josh. This whole episode was trying to make Josh look like a star, by the way. You could see why Vince McMahon likes him.
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely positioning him in that manner. And all week long, we heard one thing. They're getting rid of DC. They're going to get rid of DC. Me and Lindsay went out on social media, and we just rallied against it, because you open yourself up for this can of worms when you want the fans to make this a popularity contest. You can't have it both ways. So we were both expecting, that's why Lindsay was dreading it, they're voting ZZ off. ZZ didn't make the bottom three.
Thank God.
It was Sarah Lee, Gigi, and Chelsea.
And the only reason Amanda didn't make the bottom three because Paige was ready to throw her in there was because Miz indicated that he was going to, and then he changed his mind.
At the last second, when he changed his mind, Paige just wanted to rip his face off.
Dude, Miz is not going to see the end of this competition because Paige is going to murder him before it's done.
Oh, I most likely... They
need to put Brian in the middle. That's the only way Miz is gonna survive is if Brian goes in the middle.
I don't think Brian wants to be in the middle of that.
No. Brian does not want to be in the middle. Brian is perfectly content to let Paige just have it, Miz. Just perfectly okay with it. He's like, take him down. I'm cool.
So Paige was not happy that Gigi was in the bottom three, which means she saved Gigi.
Who was going home, by the way.
Who was going to go home. Which means Chelsea was eliminated.
So, Chelsea gets the boot this week, which makes me sad because honestly she was the best one out of the girls.
She was the best wrestler of the bunch.
Which isn't surprising, she'd been through Storm's Academy, she definitely had what it took to make it, so I'm very, very sad that Chelsea's gone, because I actually liked her, I actually felt she had a shot to win.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You know, I firmly felt it was going to come down to her and Sarah Lee. And, well, now that's not quite the case. So the two biggest prospects for the girls and the guys are now gone. And the competition's kind of been blown wide open, sort of, in terms of who's left.
Because we're down to Gigi, Sarah Lee, Amanda, ZZ, Josh, and Tanner. By the way, awkward flirting with Tanner and Josh. Just saying.
That boy has no game. He just has no game.
No game.
Whatsoever. But what's interesting, I had a point and I lost it. Crap. It'll come back to me. Keep talking.
As she tries to remember her point, we have two, according to the judge's mind, there are two weaklings, ZZ and Amanda, and they are both surviving at this point. The judges are really hard on ZZ and, you know, they have every right to be hard on him. Because they need to motivate him. And the awkwardness between, I don't want to call it awkwardness, but the amusing part of Tough Talk was Daniel Bryan and ZZ talking about vegan.
Yeah, they brought up ZZ's reality TV past, which ZZ's actually been on two other reality TV shows. He was on Trading Spouses when he was like 8, and a lady from California came and lived with him and his father for a couple weeks, and she was a vegan. And so that's what led to the conversation, and ZZ's like, you know, vegans are cool for me. I'm not a vegan, but vegans are cool with me. And that kind of made Brian chuckle a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was, ZZ was actually on Swamp People for Discovery, and he was on for a season, and that was when he was 16, and now he's 19, and he's on Tough Enough, and so they were bringing up the fact that this is his third reality show, which Rock and I were both like, well, they can't say anything about, you know, at least Miz can't say anything, because Miz was on a reality show. Miz was part of the real world for years.
Miz did the real world, he did the real world Road Rules challenges for a while, he even came via Tough Enough.
Yeah, Miz is actually a tough enough contestant that made it, even brought it up to the fact that, you know, Daniel Peter, who was a fan favorite over him, won, and, you know, he was gone from WWE within a year, and so basically Miz's concern with ZZ is that ZZ's going to do the same thing, because basically the judges and the trainers and pretty much everybody in WWE are rallying against the fan favorites, which are Sarah Lee and ZZ.
Which when you make it a popularity contest, this is what happens.
But what pissed me off is that you have the judges going on, or you have the trainers going on, they're basically saying that the WWE universe is getting it wrong.
Yes, they did.
With ZZ. And to his credit, ZZ's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He needs to do his cardio. He needs to get it up. And honestly, if he doesn't want to be there, if this is not what he wants to do with his life, then by all means, leave.
But he's still there.
He's still trying. He's still taking a huge amount of crap from everybody.
Correct.
Like, basically, there for a while, it was, hey, let's target ZZ.
Yes.
Let's try and get him to crack. Let's try and get him to quit. Let's try to get the fans to send him home. And you know what happened? None of it happened. He didn't crack. He didn't quit. And he stayed. He just has that personality that just anything rolls off of him. You know, well, almost anything. I mean, obviously, we've seen him get upset. We've seen him get mad. We've seen him with hurt feelings. But ultimately, he just sort of takes it all in stride. And he moves forward.
Right.
And that's the type of person, at least in my humble opinion, because obviously, I don't know what it takes to make a wrestler. That's somebody that you would want in any type of working environment, let alone a locker room.
Right.
Because you're going to have people yelling things at you. They're going to boo you. They're going to cheer you. They're going to hate you. They're going to love you. And you need to have somebody that can have it roll off their back and move and take it all in stride and move forward. You don't want somebody that's going to react badly or take it personally or get upset or crack or whatever. That's not what you want.
This is true.
But I think what is the most irritating to me is it's, well, yeah, it's a fan vote, but the fan vote doesn't really matter. You guys are getting it wrong. You should be voting for these people. Like, they blatantly said that.
They did. They
outright said it.
Booker T outright said it. Guess what? So what?
Here's the thing. I get he's not doing his cardio, and that's on him, and he accepted full responsibility for the fact that he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He said it on Tough Enough that it's nobody's fault but my own.
He's owning it. At least he's admitting to it.
Yeah, I mean, he could be standing there saying, oh, well, you know, the trainers aren't teaching me, or, well, you know, he could be giving a million excuses. And he's not. He said, it's my fault. I'm going to own up to it, and I'm going to do better. And yes, he said that before, and, you know, Daniel Bryan posed the very apt question of, well, you've said it before, why should we believe you now?
And we're just going to wait and see if he does.
I mean, he seems to be taking it seriously now. He's said that he lost 8 pounds. I don't know if that's in a week or overall, but he's obviously changing his diet. He's obviously working out. He's obviously trying. You know, whether it's hard or not, I don't know. We can only see what's being presented to us through social media and on television, but it irritates me when they try to manipulate the audience the way that they are, and I get that that happens on all reality shows, and that's what this is a reality show.
There's one thing to manipulate. And then there's another, you're getting it wrong, do this.
Yeah, where you're outright telling the fans what to do. It's like, honestly, if you want him off the show that bad, kick him off. I've never heard of a reality show where there isn't the option to kick somebody off. Or work out a deal with him to get him to quit. You know, do something. It's really, how desperate are you to get him off the show?
Right.
And I'm really shocked that it's like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to actually do anything. You know, well, actually, no. We're going to sit here and we're going to bully him and we're going to see if that works. And oh, hey, when that doesn't work, we'll just get the WWE Universe to do our dirty work for us and vote him off. Because, you know, then that way we're absolved of it. Doesn't quite work like that. And it just, I can't tell if they're doing it to get the crowd to root for him or if they just genuinely want him off the show. Because that just makes me want him to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Because the thing is they're like, well, he's not coachable. He's not this, he's not that. The dude played football.
He's coachable.
He's coachable. You just gotta figure out how to coach him.
Yeah, I connect to him and go from there.
I mean, the thing is you, and we've said this before about him, part of being a wrestler is charisma. Part of being a wrestler is connecting with the audience. He is connected with your audience. He's on 1 hour a week. A week. 1 hour. And it's not even a full hour. And he is connected with your audience.
Very true.
Cardio, in-ring ability, all of that can be taught. That ability to connect, that level of charisma cannot be taught. As Enzo likes to say, you can't teach that. You can't. He has something. And it pisses me off. And it's like, he's got that intangible whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, screw it. We don't want him. But they're like, now Tanner had personality. He's won every competition. We'd take him in a heartbeat. Or Josh, who honestly, bless him, reminds me of Roman Reigns. He's another Roman Reigns. That's exactly what I see when I look at him. And that's not a shot at Roman, but it's like, you know, from the man bun to the personality to all of it, it's like, it's Roman 2.0. Taller, faster, stronger. He will be better. But, yeah, so, like, the whole, and I'm sorry, just kind of took over, but the whole vote, get rid of ZZ. Again, if you want him off your show, kick him off. Buy him out. Whatever. You know, make it look like he left. I really honestly don't care how you do it, but I find it irritating when you fix a competition like this, and I acknowledge every reality show in the history of reality shows is fixed. But when you're blatant about it, to the point that you're telling the fans that they're wrong and they're voting wrong and you want him off your show, you know what? If you want him off that bad, get rid of him. Don't expect us to do it for you.
At this point in time, I would like to remind everyone on August 10th, it's hashtag Stand Out Appreciation Day.
Yes. Hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day. Tweet it, tumble it, Facebook it, put out your pictures, put out your photo or your drawings, poems, favorite songs, favorite Sandow memories, anything to do with Damien Sandow, please put it out with the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day.
And go to wildtalkradio.com, read the interview with the ladies behind the movement.
Yes, it's getting a lot of press because, well, Foley put it out, and Seamus has now endorsed it.
Hey, fella.
He even asked Barack Obama to make it a national holiday, so there you go. Well done, ladies. Well done.
But to go back to her point, I agree with what she was saying.
You just let me do all the talking.
Well, you know, we have the conversation. Did you just verbalize what we talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I just...
It's cool. It's awesome.
It makes it more of a joke.
It does.
But it really does. Like, Tough Enough was already kind of a joke, but you want to give it the benefit of the doubt. You want to take it seriously. You want to believe that they're actually trying to do something with it. And then stuff like this comes out, and it's just a joke. It's just seriously a joke. It's, y'all are the one that cast him. Y'all are the ones that made it a fan vote. Y'all are ultimately the reason why this is happening, and you shouldn't blame us for the missteps. It's like, if you're stuck with him, why not actually try to figure out how to coach him?
That's a very good point.
Because to me, it's like, well, who said, you know, I get he is not motivated and he has culpability in the fact that he's not getting his cardio up, but there's some culpability on the trainer's behalf that they're not motivating him to do that. They're not finding a way to motivate him. And honestly, I thought that was the part of a good coach or a good trainer, was to figure out a way to relate to everybody and motivate them the way that they need it. Because, you know, obviously yelling at him doesn't work. Insulting him doesn't work. And then the only thing that finally worked was there was the realization that they are actually targeting him. Like last week, they were legit targeting him. Legit. It was really kind of laughable what they were doing, and they didn't succeed. And they ended up losing one of their best people on the guy side because of it. It's like, oops, sorry, there you go. So, I don't know, it's just, it was really hard to watch, and for me, I do hope he takes the whole thing. I personally want him to win, because I'm a supporter of him, I think he's got something, but then again, I'm just a stupid fan, and I don't really know anything, so, yeah. So, I say we take our second break.
Final break.
And when we come back, we're going to have NXT, we're going to have Tweet of the Week, and, well, we're going to talk about a little thing that happened on SmackDown tonight between Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt and where it could potentially go. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. I've been the hunter, I've been the hunted, don't look now, you got another thing coming. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad?
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost to start talking hockey. Fourth.
That one too, huh?
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
Oh, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's right pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
This is your Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and I'm going to make something perfectly clear to my congregation. When Pope is done pimp-slapping all of his opponents in the ring, and Pope likes to sit down and relax, he goes to youtube.com/MVG1211.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
That was just recently.
It was this past Sunday, actually. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no.
Man. Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Most matadores versus the real Americans.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making fun of you. I seen him too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Lost Matador is one.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked Brie. So you picked AJ Lee.
Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed to Cancer Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He coming, just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And, well, that music means one thing and one thing only. And we are getting ready to talk all about Wednesday night's exciting NXT, including two huge matches on the show, Bayley versus Charlotte. And Joe versus Rhino.
They are two big, huge matches on the show. I'm gonna switch things up a little bit on the show. Or this segment, cause why not? Let's try something different. We're gonna start with Kevin Owens, and then we'll discuss the matches that happened on the show. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Listen to the number one contender for the gold.
2 weeks ago, as part of the contract signing for the NXT Championship match versus Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, a chaotic scene ensued. You struck the champion. You even struck our general manager, William Regal.
Which I apologized for.
You did.
I did.
But was that a heartfelt apology?
Yeah. Are you implying that it wasn't?
Because
I kind of feel like by you asking that, you're questioning my sincerity, and you've got that little smirk on your face.
I have come to know you over the past few months. But after the apology was completed, Mr. Regal was caught on camera saying that he hopes Finn Balor beats you at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
Yeah, I heard that. I saw it later. And you know what? First of all, I'm really happy you're bringing that up. Good journalist you are. First of all, kudos to Mr. Regal for waiting for me to have my back turned and have walked away to make a comment like that. It takes a real man, real man's man, I should say, to do something like that. But see, there's a problem there for me with a figure of authority. Because let's face it, William Regal basically runs NXT, right?
Yes.
So for him to openly say that he hopes I don't win the title in Brooklyn in the biggest main event in the history of NXT, that's a big issue for me because, see, I don't just want the NXT title anymore. I need it for various reasons. See, first, the NXT title is a reminder of what I did to Sami Zayn, and, you know, I just like having it because of that. But also, the NXT title means more money in my bank account, which I've been lacking these past few weeks. And, you know, quite frankly, I just don't enjoy walking down the ramp, whether it's on Raw or SmackDown or NXT, without a title over my shoulder. So for all those reasons, I need to walk out of Brooklyn as NXT champion. But after what William Regal said, and, you know, I've watched WWE for years, I've seen William Regal throughout his career. He's not exactly a stand-up guy. And, you know, I actually respect that. He would do whatever he needed to do to get where he wanted to go. And, hey, I'm all about that. But now that he's in a position of power, who's to say that he's not going to throw some crooked referee in the ring with me and Balor in Brooklyn, and we're going to have another Montreal Screwjob on our hands? Sure, it's going to be in Brooklyn, but it's on a Montreal boy, so... See, I've thought long and hard about that, and I realize that there's really only one way for me to be guaranteed that that won't happen. And that would be put the title up, put a ladder between Balor and I, and see who can climb up and grab it first. That way, no referee can do anything to make sure I don't win. And I can rest assured that William Regal is not going to screw me out of what's mine, and that's the NXT title. So on August 22nd in Brooklyn at TakeOver, what I want is a ladder match.
Interesting proposition. We'll have to see what the general manager says about that. But, you know, this could all be alleviated if you just beat Finn Balor. Can you beat the Demon?
He takes off his microphone and walks away. I like these character-driven interviews. They do one.
Mm-hmm.
They did one with Finn Balor later. It's just, there's no crowd, just interviewer, wrestler, sitting down having a conversation. And they do a lot for the characters. I wish, and this is why the ones they do on WWE.com are really good. It's focus on the character. It's focus on the person. They get to tell who they are, what their purpose is. And a lot of times you don't get that on Raw and SmackDown. Just because it's a 2-hour show and you just don't have time for it. Even though you probably can make room on 3 hours of Raw to do a little segment. But again, it's ratings, keeping attention. Not all people will listen to a straightforward interview like this. What they did here is they gave Kevin Owens a purpose, gave him a reason, gave him a focus. He succeeded in all of them. And the fact that he wants to make Finn Balor and Kevin Owens a ladder match?
I'm in.
Take my money.
Yeah, just shut up and take my money. I'm so jealous of everybody that's going to the show in Brooklyn, because if that match gets made, holy crap, you're in for a treat. Balor and Owens in a ladder match? Shut up.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you in terms of the character-driven interviews like this. I like that you get more of the quiet intensity from Kevin Owens, because that's what makes the character so great, is he's this cocky jerk of a guy, but he has this quiet intensity about him.
Yes.
And that doesn't always translate well on television, and I like that he doesn't have to raise his voice. I like that he can just be him, and it comes across so well. And the same thing goes for Balor, because Balor is not a loud individual. He doesn't raise his voice. So to have him do this very intimate, intense kind of interview is really good, because it helps to get the character across, as you said. So love that they do these, and I wish more of them would show up on television, because, I mean, they've done several of them that were extremely good, and they never hit television. It's like, oh.
You just wish they would, because you would connect with these characters a little bit more. To run through a couple things that happened on this show. Baron Corbin, he squashed someone. This time it was Steve Cutler. Yay.
You know, honestly, I need more from Baron Corbin. I really do. I want that cocky guy that was in the promo packages they showed us a little while ago.
Yeah.
I want that guy, and we're just not seeing him.
Tyler Breeze beat Alex something or other. Couldn't catch his last name.
Tyler.
That was a squash match, but it was effective. He showcased off his moves, and the difference between the two squash matches is Corbin has one move.
Basically.
Tyler has a variety of moves. It was announced by William Regal that it will be Jushin Thunder Liger taking on Tyler Breeze at NXT TakeOver.
Again, I'm in.
The former Yuha Nation becomes Apollo Crews, and his debut takes over at TakeOver. Should be interesting.
Who's facing.
To see what all the buzz is about. The Hype Bros were in action, took on Dash and Dawson. They beat Dash and Dawson. Dash and Dawson didn't like it. They took out the Hype Bros.
So not nice.
We learned that NXT TakeOver Booker, the Vaudevillians, will be taking on Blake and Murphy for the tag team titles in a rematch.
Okay, we need to talk about this, because this was kind of amazing. I really want Regal to manage the Vaudevillians. Because there's just magic with those three together, and I kind of need it. Like, really kind of need it.
Right.
So it's like, yes.
And it seems like the Vaudevillians will maybe be getting a female?
It could be, because one of the last things that Regal says to,
the Vaudevillians.
The Vaudevillians, because I'm trying to think of their name and I'm blanking on their names. My brain isn't working tonight!
Simon Gotch and Aiden English.
I'm such a bad fangirl, I forgot their names.
You've been drinking.
I've been drinking. Is you're going to need to find a way to neutralize Alexa Bliss. So they're either getting a female or they're getting a third. And because Alexa Bliss is a girl and they're chivalrous men, they do not harm ladies, it would make sense that they get a woman with them.
It would be interesting to see who they put with them if that were to happen.
It would be.
Before we get to the big two matches that she mentioned at the top, we got two serious bullfit promos.
Damn you, WWE, for making me like...
Wyatt Lovechild.
Hate you so much for that. Last week we had the comical bullfit promos where he started his journey and he was running around in his little trash bag suit and everything. And this week it was much more serious. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. It was much more serious. And we had ourselves a montage.
Of him training.
But it was a montage. And all I could think was Team America World Police montage. It's like all I can hear in my head right now is that song. Because that's what they did. It's like, you know, he's showing a little improvement. He's getting better. And by the end of it, hey, look, because it opens up with him looking at this ginormous heavy tire thing. And he's like, nope, not going to do it. And then he starts to train and everybody's encouraging him. And it's like, hey, look at Bull. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, Bill. You can do it. And, like, by the end of it, he flips the tire, and he has a Rocky moment.
Yeah, he did.
It's like, what?
So now, this is all going to lead to something at TakeOver, right? You gotta figure it is. You're gonna have 13,000 people chanting, Bullfit, Bullfit, Bullfit. Imagine that chant.
All depends on who he wrestles.
Oh, I know. But the Bullfit chant, that should be interesting.
I think it's a clever way.
It is. It's very clever.
to reintroduce him because obviously the monster gimmick wasn't working. He wasn't getting over. This is getting him over. And you do what you gotta do.
You do what you gotta do. And then we had our two big matches. We had Becky Lynch and Charlotte to start off the show.
Bailey.
Oh, Bailey. I wrote Becky. My bad. Bailey. I don't know why I wrote down Becky. Because I think I was doing something else at the time. Anyway, Charlotte and Bailey. Handshake to start. This was great. This was awesome. We had a Bailey Kimrana. We had a belly to Bailey kicked out of. We had a neckbreaker and spear from Charlotte that got kicked out of. She countered the figure four, cause she saw it coming. She was able to reverse it, and Charlotte had to get to the ropes. There's a nice spot where Charlotte rolled up Bailey into the turnbuckle, which was different and unique. As I mentioned, the Bailey for a two count, German suplex two count. Bailey charged in. Charlotte, as I said, schoolgirl her into the turnbuckle, and then they get to the top rope. And the Bailey to belly for the win from the top. You're a winner, Bailey.
This was a great, great match.
It was awesome. Bailey is amazing.
Bailey is awesome. They're building her up to take a run at Sasha for the NXT title. I would not be surprised if she beats Becky Lynch.
Yeah, William Regal said she has to fight Becky Lynch next week for the number one contendership. Their interaction was great. William Regal's just great with everybody. Not gonna lie, he's great with everybody.
He is. I love that his gimmick is that he's the competent general manager. Like, he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
Yeah. And then our main event, Samoa Joe and Rhino. Brutal, aggressive, hard hitting. Bunch of attempts at the clutch by Samoa Joe. Rhino would always get out of it. Rhino goes for the gore, Joe kicks him in the face, goes for the clutch again, breaks out of it, clothesline, two count, Rhino's up on the top rope, which is sort of a giveaway because Rhino never goes to the top rope. Joe stops him, muscle buster, you're a winner, Samoa Joe. Good match, hard hitting.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely great match. I like what they're doing with Joe, I like that they're making him as brutal as he is.
And they're doing a good job of reintroducing him in to WWE because... You know, he came in hot start, but now you gotta slow him down a little bit. Now let him introduce to the WWE audience, who mostly know him, but still, you have to introduce him, and they're doing a great job.
I would agree.
So that's NXT, which would lead us to what?
I think we have to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, first tweet. God. Welcome to heaven, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Macho Man Wants to Wrestle. Big Head Sports. The theme music for UFC 190 should be When September Ends, because that's when the main event will start. Mario Lopez. Hey UFC, the next season of Game of Thrones is gonna start before Ronda Rousey gets in the octagon.
I had that one. Someone stole it from me.
Shocker. Charles. The preliminary fights start when Nixon was in office. Jesus. Wrestling memes. Mr. T's mohawk, to which he replies, even more iconic, and if he's not happy, I'm only a plane right away. He ain't getting on no plane, fool. Somebody tweeted Jerry Lawler, can you tell Sheamus that he's going to have some competition in a few years? And it's a kid holding up a first day of school Money in the Bank lunchbox, which is so cute. And he goes, there better be ham sandwiches in there. Bull Dempsey, did you guys see that? My stuff in the gym is working.
All
Becky
right.
Lynch. Breakfast comes before greatness, even in the dictionary. And finally, Becky Lynch. Somebody asked her, when did you turn into Blanca from Street Fighter? On SmackDown. Obviously. That's mine. What's yours?
I was waiting for it to load up so I can tell you mine.
He's not even loaded up. He's such a slacker. First his computer dries, and now, you know, he's not even loaded up.
It is loaded up now. Jillian Hall tweeted, caught J.C. Layfield on Fox News. Very smart man. Who knew? And he goes, what do you mean, who knew? Corey Graves, was the guy from the game Operation a Clown, or was it a light-up nose, just an affliction we weren't concerned with fixing. Hashtag mystery. Seth Rollins tweeted, I was robbed, WWE Network, for the extended version of Renee Young's show on the network. She goes, I demand an exclusive re-release. You must know some people, Rollins. You must. ProWrestling.net. I could crush Ronda Rousey in a game of checkers. In a fight, I'd tap and run the second she showed her mean face during the entrances. I think everyone would. Not Sports Center. Today's Tom Brady's 38th birthday, and Not Sports Center was able to get a look at his birthday list. Wish list, alright? You ready for it? It's some new lingerie for me to wear. I mean, for Giselle to wear. A freaking high five from someone already. Some new UGG. Oh, wait, I have them all. But I can always add more, so maybe just more UGG. A new football? Barely inflated. A new phone to destroy in front of NFL HQ. And Roger Goodell sent to Guantanamo Bay. Report, Not Sports Center. Beth Correa has been invited to play a walker on the new season of The Walking Dead, since that's all about that's left of her now, which is very, very true.
Very fitting.
It is very fitting. Three-man booth. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, how many words is a GIF? Hashtag Raw. Let's keep it 5-star. Okay, the new rule for WWE Championship Open Challenge, you have to be either 3 feet tall or a WWE wrestling buddy, Seth Rollins. Hashtag Raw.
Or Adrian Neville.
Keep it 5-star. Sheamus walks into the Wyatt family room. And Orton, you, Bray. Wait, how'd you find us? There was smoke coming out the door, said Sheamus. Keep it 5-star. Every time he's at Raw, Brock Lesnar grabs Michael Cole's lunch and trades his banana for Cole's snack pack. Hashtag Raw. Three-man booth. Fun fact. Luke Harper was wearing a Hot Rod shirt over his white tank top, but the tank top ate it. Keep it 5-star. Dean Ambrose is showing off that side boob for his fans. Hashtag six-man tag. Hashtag Raw. Three-man booth. Take Natty away from her cats long enough and she starts manipulating people and said, get her some cats. Hashtag told Divas. Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. Nikki Bella's orange dress is accepting the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge in Europe. William Regal, about to leave on a plane. There's a peanut allergy, unfortunate, on here. I'll eat my pistachios safely for them, mocking them at the same time. A report from Not Sports Center. The Bears told Jay Cutler in camp that their DBs are who he's supposed to throw to, so that way his wide receivers can intercept his passes. That's Tweet of the Week.
Well done.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened on SmackDown and kind of what also happened on Raw, because I'm actually kind of noticing something starting with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, particularly in terms of this feud with Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper, and that is now Roman has referred to Dean as a lunatic and his psycho, basically.
Call him crazy.
He called him crazy on Raw, to which Dean actually took exception on Raw, but didn't do anything.
Correct.
And then Roman called him his lunatic tonight, which Bray echoed in the promo at the end of the show. And so I'm kind of wondering if they're teasing a potential friction between Roman and Dean.
It's quite possible.
Because obviously you need to take this feud back to Bray and Roman.
Yes.
And Dean needs to be moved on to his own singles feud and moved on to his own thing, because it's really not fair to Dean for him to be just Roman's little buddy and Roman's backup in the feud with Bray. And so I'm wondering if they're teasing potentially a little tension between Roman and Dean, in which Roman and Dean actually split up for a little bit because Roman is basically calling Dean crazy, sort of teasing him about it, and Dean is just like, dude, what?
Right.
And also, if you notice, a lot of the times, Dean is there for Roman. Roman isn't necessarily there for Dean.
This is very true.
So it's, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I would echo your position on it. It's, what I would be interested to see in this whole situation is, I want to see Bray Wyatt get to their head. I want to see him sort of drive that wedge in between. And not break,
right.
And not really break them apart, but take them to their breaking point.
There
used to be a submission pay-per-view called that. It would be interesting just to see where it goes, how far Bray Wyatt, how manipulative he can be. There's been questions on how manipulative he can be, how far he can drive them. And what was interesting, reading Daniel Bryan's book, which is a now best-selling book, by the way.
Great book if you haven't read it.
He talks in the book how he pitched ideas to be brainwashed by the Wyatt family. And it always made us wonder, what would happen if someone actually got brainwashed? Maybe what if Bray's tricks led to somebody being brainwashed?
or they're just manipulated in a fashion where it seems like they're brainwashed.
I think to me, I think that would be incredibly interesting, and it would make Bray that much more dangerous, because we know it's a cult. Okay, we're not stupid. We've all figured out Bray Wyatt and his little family, they're a cult. We know that. You know, it's been implied without them actually saying the word. And so there's always been speculation in terms of how Bray brings people into the family. You know, obviously when he debuted with Kane, he beat Kane down, they had the match, and then the Wyatts drug Kane off. And Kane was missing for 2 months, 3 months, somewhere in that range.
Yes.
Filming See No Evil 2 and doing a speaking tour, but, you know, in terms of WWE TV, the Wyatt family had Kane. And when Kane came back, he was corporate.
Right.
So it's like something happened to Kane in mythos and storyline and canon, whatever, that Bray Wyatt did something presumably to Kane to turn him to that corporate shell, to bring that monster under control. And whether he did it for the authority, whether he did it for himself, that's never been answered. And we saw him again try to do it with Daniel Bryan, where they beat Bryan down and beat Bryan down, and finally Bryan joins the family, and Bryan is trying to fit in, and there's tension in the family, and obviously the books, that, you know, Bryan's book implied that Bray would brainwash Bryan into being a part of the Wyatt family. Well, that didn't happen.
No.
Because Bryan went on to bigger and better things.
Alright, LeMans brings up, what if he finally triggers Kane to turn and join the Wyatt family and bids to take over the authority?
That would make me so happy.
That would give Lindsay the closure she's been desperately seeking.
Closure. No.
It would be interesting. It would really be interesting if that happened. And the idea is, you just want to see what type of influence Bray Wyatt has on somebody. And see how it actually affects them. Because you can only... As a cult leader, you're only as good as your message is received. It's received well with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, but what about everyone else? It needs to have that impact on everybody.
Well, the thing with it is that Bray's being touted as the new face of fear. And when you look at Bray Wyatt, he's really not that scary looking. He's kind of fluffy, you know?
He's the friendliest cult leader you'll ever see.
He's the friendliest cult leader you will ever meet in your life. And so you need to find another way to sort of make him scary and make people fear him. And the best way to do that is psychologically. And we've seen him start to play really, really heavy mind games with Roman Reigns. He kind of started with Taker and trying to draw Taker out. And he's been playing mind games his entire tenure in WWE so far. But we've really started to see him kind of focus in on it in this feud with Roman. And it's been really good because it's what makes Bray Wyatt so dangerous, where he can take someone's weakness and he can just exploit it for what it is and for all it's worth. And he can get what he wants out of it. And to see him take that ability and push it further into brainwashing someone would be really kind of cool to see, just because it would give him that air of fear. Because the way I've kind of always felt the Wyatt family should be, and I think the way he's kind of implied this, is that anybody could be a member of the Wyatt family. Anybody. It all depends on who Bray has gone after.
Right.
And who Bray has around him, because we obviously know that Rowan and Harper are his direct disciples, but it's been implied that there are other members of the family, you know, obviously from the vignettes and everything else. So Bray has a full complement of people, and who's to say that he doesn't have other people with him to help him, and that Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family have infiltrated the WWE. That could be something intriguing, because then it's like, well, you don't know who's a member of the Wyatts, you don't know who's with Bray Wyatt, and you don't know who he's going after next. And you think about that, you have a psychopath walking around brainwashing people, and you don't know who's on his side and who's on yours. It's kind of terrifying.
It is terrifying.
And it feels like that's that kind of atmosphere that Bray Wyatt should have, is you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know who he's going to go after. He's just that unpredictable. And once he decides what he wants to do, he just sinks his teeth into someone and he just tears them apart. And we've been saying this pretty much from day one with Bray, is there needs to be some kind of lasting psychological problem or quirk or something that indicates that the person that faced Bray is not the same coming out of it.
Right.
Is not okay.
Right.
Because when you're screwing with people the way that Bray is supposed to be screwing with people, you shouldn't come out of it being happy and smiling and okay.
Very true.
Like, the first person, I think, to actually actively sell being concerned outside of John Cena's attempt was Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, Bray held up that picture of Roman's daughter. He was done.
He was dead. Yeah.
Just done. Right out of the gate, Bray got him. So yeah. It's like...
Bray's good with his mind game. You just gotta keep the effect going. And I think driving a wedge, not breaking them apart, just driving a wedge into them would be a nice start. It would show his manipulation powers. Because it would finally get to both Roman and Dean. And then that makes Bray Wyatt even stronger.
Yeah, because Roman's family is Roman's weakness. We know that. The one thing Bray Wyatt was never able to get to in the feud with Dean Ambrose was Dean's actual weakness.
So we'll see what happens with that whole situation and go from there. But I say we're done.
Yeah, I say we're done. We'll probably talk about it again come SummerSlam. So, but till then, it's late. I gotta go to bed. Everybody else has to go to bed, so... Or go to work or whatever. So, well, we're done. You plug stuff.
Check us out next week, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Rack. Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 5. Episode 6 will be available this coming week. Follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight edition is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio, WTR, Facebook.com/ Secret Robots and Midnight, CBRadioLive.com, Sunday at WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio. Monday nights are on post show 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday is Sandow Appreciation Day. Use the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day. Share your favorite moments, memories, much more of Damien Sandow. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. She's on Twitter at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. Check out our website, psychwardsdesigns.com. Thanks to PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211. Get us on Stop Motion. Get on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, I guess my plugs are done for me. Gosh. So everyone, thanks so much for bearing with us for the technical difficulties at the end of the show. We're sorry we couldn't close it out live, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. Once again, big thanks to PWMania.com, TNAAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we will see you next week. You've been listening to The Rack right here on the WildTalkRadio.com. Bye!